High Point Church. Hope everyone is doing well. And man, we're so excited to have you here with us today. And I'll say it time and time again, but it's the truth. The fact that you all are here with us this morning means a ton to us. We're glad that you choose to do life with us and to be a part of our Life Point Church family. I mean, there's a church on every corner, right? And the fact that you're here, we love it. And man, just again, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So today is the second and final week of the message series we started called Thrive, right? And what we're doing in this series is we're trying to zero in on what God has to say about our relationships. And as we talked about last week, many of us, man, we go through life just trying to survive, right? We kind of get this survival mentality so often. I mean, I've personally been there myself. I mean, I think about times where I ask people like, hey, man, how are you doing? How's it going? And they're just like, bro, I'm just surviving. Trying to make it another day. You know, it's just this whole survival mentality is keeping us down, and it's keeping us from being our best. Not only just as people, but specifically relationally, because we were not created to just survive. God created and intended us to actually thrive in every aspect of our life, every aspect, but yet we're surviving. In our jobs, we're just trying to make it through, collect that paycheck and keep it moving. Or as parents, try not to screw them up too bad, right? Just hope I can do the best I can, just want to survive. You know, in our friendships, in our relationships with our partners, with our spouses, whatever it may be, we're constantly just trying to survive. But as the relational beings that God created us to be, we're to thrive. And we need each other. We need to do life together each and every day. We have to be in relationship in order to do that, in order to thrive. And our key passage of scripture for this series is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, in verse 9 through 11, which says this. It says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people laying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? It's this beautiful picture that we are supposed to do life together. That relationships are critical. And we're not to just survive. We don't have to just survive. We can actually thrive relationally. But as we talked about last week, and as many of us know, as soon as sin came on the scene, right? That the fall of man, at that moment, relationships became damaged. We talked about last week, the first thing after Adam and Eve sinned, first thing Adam did was he blamed Eve. He's like, yo, over here, it was her. First thing Eve did was she blamed the serpent. So we see, and they're hiding from God. So we see this picture of damaged and destroyed relationships. We see this picture of a survival mentality. You don't throw other people under the bus unless you're just trying to survive. But again, we're not called to survive, we're called to thrive. Even though sin entered the world, even though we screwed things up and there's damage and a wedge between our relationships, the good news is that's not the end game, right? It doesn't end there because Jesus came on the scene, right? And he paid that ultimate price. He gave his life, he died and rose again so that we could be restored in every aspect of the word being restored, that we could be rekindled and connected to God once again, that he made a way for us to be made right with God, but he also made a way through him so that we can be made whole again relationally, that we can once again thrive. And that's what we talked about last week, right? We talked about how we can actually thrive relationally. We covered four things. We covered how in order to thrive relationally, it requires effective communication, right? Not just the exchange of words, but actually understanding the emotion and the intent behind what is being said, like true, effective communication. We talked about the need for mutual submission and respect. It's not just one-sided, that we have to respect each other in all things and at all times. We talked about the presence of true love, not just saying that you love somebody, not just tweeting it out or putting it in an Instagram post or whatever, but actually showing them your love for them through your actions. That's powerful. That's true, true love. And then ultimately we talked about the importance of placing God in his number one spot, right? The number one spot in your life. You cannot thrive relationally if you're putting your relationships before God. And that somewhat seems like counterproductive, right? Because it's real easy to put our spouse or our partner or our kids or whoever it may be, your best friend, family members before God. And it may seem like a noble thing, but you're doing your relationship a disservice if God is not the number one in your life. And if you missed last week, I hope that you'll go back and check it out on our podcast because there's some really good scriptural truth in there that we see that we can take and apply to our relationships. And I hope that over this week you've really thought about that and you've really dug a little deeper into that and begin to think about how you can thrive in each and every one of the relationships in your life. But I also understand and know that while we want to thrive and can thrive in our relationships, relationships involve people, right? And as people, sometimes we're not so great, which means there's also 100% gonna be relational hurt. It's just reality. We can try our very best and we can try to do all the right things, but relational hurt is a part of our life. From my own personal experience, from conversations that I have with people, as well as looking throughout scripture, you see relational hurt over and over and over again. I wish it wasn't the case, but it is. So let me just go ahead and ask and see where you guys are at. See what we're working with here. How many of you all would say that either right now in your life, you're currently experiencing and trying to work through a relational hurt, or you've had some relational hurt in the past? How many of y'all? We got to work on hand raising. Y'all just like, and own it. Thank you. Right. Me too. We've all experienced relational hurt because we are in this world together with people. And it's a bummer that we have to experience it, but it's reality. Again, because people are people. I have hurt people relationally that I honestly didn't even intend to. I'm just boneheaded sometimes. I'm sure I've created some relational hurt in my marriage, not meaning to. But I'm just an idiot sometimes. Just don't think, right? Goes back to some of that communication stuff from last week. But we all are going to experience that. But again, the beautiful thing is that there's hope. There's hope in our hurt, again, because of Jesus. Because of him, there's hope before the hurt. There's hope in the middle of the hurt. And there's hope beyond the hurt. And so what we're going to talk about today is we're going to look at scripture and we're going to dive into how we can actually thrive through the relational hurt. Not going to talk about how to avoid it, but how do we thrive when we're going through that relational hurt? And as I said last week, this is not like an if you can do X, Y, and Z kind of situation, you're never going to have relational hurt. Or if you do have relational hurt, it's automatically going to be healed, restored, and the pain's going to go away. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that if we can really apply these scriptural truths, if we can stay connected to the vine and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, that as we go through that relational hurt, we can actually thrive. It doesn't have to define us. It doesn't have to destroy us. We can, in fact, thrive. So as we begin to work through some of these scriptures, and I share a few of these points about how we thrive through the relational hurt, I also want you to notice that there's a lot of common steps that you've probably heard. You know, being that I worked in a psychiatric residential facility for 12 and a half years, I've heard a lot of things. I've talked to a lot of therapists about how we help the kids that were in our care to move past the hurt and the trauma that they've experienced. And a lot of these things are just common practice things. But what we're going to see is that's difficult, right? It's not easy to get past relational hurt. But we're going to see that God understood that. He knows that. So then he gives us like this beautiful roadmap within Scripture on how to not only work through it, but how to thrive. Because when we can take what we already know, kind of common sense stuff, and apply the Scripture to it, and bring God in on that journey with us, man, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. So let's just go ahead and jump in. And to begin to thrive through the relational hurt, the first thing that I want you to see is simply that we have to actually acknowledge the hurt. We have to acknowledge that we experienced relationally something that was painful, that was hurtful, that was maybe even destructive, that that's where we're actually at. See, a lot of times some of it is so painful that our natural inclination is just to try to forget it, push it to the side, suppress it, or even downplay it, make excuses for it because it hurts so bad. We don't want to be in the middle. We don't want that to be our situation. So we, at times, push it off to the side. It's too heavy of a burden to carry. It's too difficult of a situation to work through. So we push it to the side. But we have to acknowledge it. We have to acknowledge that we, in fact, went through a hurt. Maybe for you, it's that you have to acknowledge that you actually were the one that kind of created that hurt. But either way, you have to acknowledge it. And again, God, knowing that this is something that is incredibly challenging for us, it's interesting, the human body and the brain is fascinating. God has wired us in such an intricate and beautiful and incredible way. A lot of times, our body or our brain will shut down on certain things that are just too painful. But we have to push through that. We have to acknowledge the hurt. But God, again, Scripture, he takes it a step further. Not only are we to acknowledge the hurt, but we're to acknowledge the hurt and take it to God. That's how we actually win. That's how we not only survive the hurt, but we thrive through it, is when we can actually take it before God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus tells us this. It's a beautiful passage, one that you've probably heard. But he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." One of the most beautiful things about God is that he's always there for you. He has your back. The very definition of a ride or die, right? He is there. Not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And he promises that when we go through the relational hurt, you will have rest when you take it to him. And I love how he specifies not just rest, but rest for your soul. Now, I don't know about you, but the different relational hurts that I've been through in my life, they are nothing. It's nothing that leads to rest. Relational hurt does not lead to rest, period, the end, right? Typically for me, relational hurt has led to sleepless nights, confusion, doubt, anger, frustration, sadness, isolation, just pure emptiness. That's typically what relational hurt leads to. But God tells us, hey, if you will acknowledge the fact that this exists in your life and you bring it to me, I know it's a heavy burden. And I know that you're weary, but bring it to me and I will give you rest for your soul. Such a beautiful truth and promise. that when you're hurting, in your darkest of hours relationally, he says, if you come to me with this, I'll give you rest for your soul. Such a beautiful, beautiful thing. So if we want to thrive, not just survive, but thrive through that relational hurt, the first thing that we're going to do is acknowledge it, and then we're going to know that we've got to take it to God. He'll give us rest. And that rest for your soul is going to be incredibly important as we move into the second piece of this. The second thing that we need to do, and it's one that's probably the most challenging and the most difficult for some of us. If we want to thrive through the hurt, through the relational hurt, the second thing that we need to do is we have to actually forgive the hurt. We acknowledge it, we take it to God, but we also have to forgive the hurt. Now, for me personally, a lot of the most intense relational hurt that I've experienced in my life came during my senior year of high school and in the preceding 4 years of college. It just seemed like there was these things that just kept happening to my relationships, or even just kind of these fringe relationships that I had. They were just destructive. They were super painful, and some things happened that were just, it just wasn't good. But for me at that moment, I just kind of downplayed it. I was young, you know, I would say was arrogant, but some would argue that I probably still am. But I was young, arrogant, and all I did was like, man, they're just jerks. I just downplayed it. Man, whatever, that's their issue, that's their loss, this and this and that. And I just kind of kept it moving. Reality was, I didn't acknowledge it. It was just easier to say that they were a jerk, forget them, and go about my business. But as I continued on through life, continued to journey on, what I found was that relational hurt that I didn't deal with began to grow and fester. And it led to anger, bitterness. And it was affecting me in a terrible, terrible way. And it was not something that was like nagging, like it was always there. It would just pop up in these random moments. And I was so angry and so bitter at these people. It was ridiculous. So I began to acknowledge it. And I began to take it before God. And the first thing that he told me was, thank you for bringing this to me. I'm going to give you rest. But now you got to forgive them. I'm like, no way, God. I don't want to. I know I need to. I hear you. But I don't want to do that. But the reality is if we want to thrive through the hurt, we've got to forgive it. We have to. And in knowing how difficult this is for us, God kind of lays out again another little piece of roadmap, a little nugget that we can take that will help us to forgive when we don't want to forgive. And you can sit there and say that that's not you, and if that's not you, that you don't struggle with forgiveness, then man, really, seriously, good for you. I mean, that's incredible. But a lot of us struggle to forgive those massive and intense relational hurts. But so if that's you, I want you to see this. In order to thrive, we have to forgive the hurt. And you do so as you've been forgiven. That's how you're going to be able to do that. That's what helped me when I needed to forgive these people in my life so that I could actually move on and not be angry and not be bitter and be obedient to Christ and how he wanted me to live and what he wanted me to do. I had to forgive as I had been forgiven. Check this out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says this. It says, make allowance for each other's faults. Let me say that again. The church needs to hear that. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Not just some. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. That's kind of hard to argue with. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, it says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, along with any form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. I mean, in reading these two passages of scripture, and there's more, I couldn't say, okay, I'm not going to forgive them. See, because the reality is for me, I'm a mess. I'm an absolute mess at times, and I need forgiveness. And I'm going to need more forgiveness as I go along. And when I think about my relationship with God, and I think about the amount of people or times that I've been hurt relationally, and I have hurt God in our relationship 10 times more than anyone's ever hurt me. Yet he forgives me. He loves me. He's forgiven me in the past, and he's going to forgive me in the future. Because he models this beautiful picture of ultimate forgiveness. And that forgiveness came at a heavy, heavy price. Jesus gave his life so that you and I could be forgiven. So then why in the world would we hold back forgiveness from anyone else? I mean, that's selfish. For us to say, yes, I will gladly receive your forgiveness, God, but I'm sure as heck not going to dish it out. And again, that's something only God can really do through you. Because I know some of you have experienced intense, intense hurt. But with God, when we give that to him, when we take it to him, he will help us to learn to forgive them just as we've been forgiven. This is how we thrive through the hurt. We acknowledge the hurt. We take it to God. We forgive as we've been forgiven. And then the final thing for us to do in order to thrive through the relational hurt is that we're going to grow beyond the hurt. We're going to grow beyond the hurt as individuals. We're going to grow in our relationship with God. And we're going to hopefully grow in our relationship with whoever that hurt was involving. We're going to grow beyond the relational hurt because we can't just sit in it. We can't live in that place. One, because it's exhausting. Two, because it's not productive. And three, that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to not survive the hurt, but to thrive through it. So we have to know that we can grow beyond the hurt. But it takes work. And it takes commitment. And when I was thinking about putting this together and I was reading scripture, and you know, in order to grow beyond a relational hurt, we all hope that we can do that with that individual. Right? That we partner together and that we move beyond that hurt. And we grow. We can leave it behind us and we can move forward. But the reality is when you're dealing with two separate people, not everyone gets to the finish line at the same time. In fact, not everyone gets to the starting point at the same time. This is why this can be so incredibly frustrating, and if we're not careful, can lead to more relational hurt. See, we may be ready. We may have worked through this, and we may be connected with God, and he's helping us to actually thrive through this, but that other person may not be there. And unfortunately, they may not ever be there. And I know that's not the most encouraging thing that I've said, but that is reality. But I want you to hear me clearly is that you are only responsible for you. You can only do what God is leading you to do. Yes, you need to be praying for that other person. Yes, you need to be modeling love in action. You need to be working through those four things that we talked about, how to thrive in your relationships. But at the end of the day, only you are in control of you. Only you can be obedient to what God is leading you to do. And we have to trust him for the result. You see, the results aren't your responsibility. Obedience is. Doing what God is leading you to do. So if you're experienced and have experienced, or maybe you're in the middle of a relational hurt, take a deep breath and do the work that God is leading you to do. Knowing that you can grow beyond that hurt. It's a journey. It takes time. And it's a challenge. But you have to be committed. And you have to be connected to the vine throughout that process. So in order to actually thrive through the hurt and grow beyond the hurt, we have to do it under the hand of God. Right? We grow beyond the hurt under the hand of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 and 7 says this: "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you." My hope and prayer is that if you're going through a relational hurt right now, that God will be working on that person as well, that you're experiencing that hurt with, and that you too can work through this process together, and that you can move forward and you can both together move beyond that hurt. But if that's not the case, understand that you are under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, when the time is right, he's going to lift you up. You'll move beyond that hurt. You'll have rest for your soul, because he cares for you. He loves you. He wants you to thrive. Though it may seem absolutely impossible right now, in due time, he'll lift you up. He's got you. Not because of anything that you do, or that you're just like super awesome with relationships after all this and God's enlightened you, you know. No, it's because you're under his mighty hand, and because he cares for you. And because of that, you can grow beyond the hurt. You can thrive through the relational hurt. Last week, we closed out talking about how God needs to be in that number one spot. This is very similar. So I want to close out with the same passage of scripture that we did last week, and it's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight." In the different relational hurts that I've been involved in and been a part of and kind of been right in the middle of, the last thing that I felt like is that my path was straight. It felt like there was barriers, roadblocks, tension, chaos. It was like a maze that I felt like I would never get out of. It's so exhausting because it's personal. It hurts to our core. That's why we take it to God. He promises rest. He's going to help us to forgive simply because we've been forgiven. And under his mighty hand, we can actually move beyond it. But we have to trust in him. We have to trust him. Trust the process that he's going to lead us through. We have to submit to him. Even when it seems overwhelming, even when it seems like there's no way out and that you're just spiraling and spiraling, trust him. Submit to him, because he promises you if you will do that, he will make your path straight. He'll make it known. He will free you up. He'll give you sight beyond that moment, because he cares for you. Relationships can be so beautiful. They're needed. They're necessary. We have to do life together. But they can also be pretty gnarly. I mean, that's just life. That's the fact of the matter. But we don't have to just survive. We can thrive relationally. And we can also thrive through the hurt when it comes. Ultimately, we have to submit to him. He will make our path straight. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning as a group of individuals, as a body, as your church, Father. And we've all been through it from time to time. I'm so thankful that you have created us as relational people. That we can be encouraged by one another, that we can encourage somebody else, that we can express and live out love in just an incredible way. How that when we're struggling and we're down, that someone who loves us can come to us and encourage us and lift our spirits. Such a beautiful thing, God. But we also know that because we have flaws, because we're not perfect, we can also create a lot of damage. So God, I just pray this morning that whatever each of us are going through that's here this morning or that's listening on the podcast, Lord, whether we're in the middle of a relational hurt or we're trying to just to grow in a new relationship or whatever it may be, God, that you would help us to not just survive, but to thrive through it all. That we would seek your face, that we would stay connected to you and thrive. God, and we're so thankful that you give us the tools and the roadmap for us to be able to do that. To learn and to grow. So Lord, may we enact that in our lives. May we hear your voice and live out your truth. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning and you've never connected with Jesus. You've never stepped over that line of faith. You've never been into a true relationship with him. Maybe it's because of a relational hurt. Maybe it's because of relational hurt that you experienced at the hand of someone who claimed to be a Christ follower. Trust me, I've been there. A lot of the hurt that I shared and talked about were at the hands of Christ followers, people that I looked up to. But I have to understand that there are people too. And they're flawed. But the reality is that is not God. That is not what a relationship with Jesus is about. Because a relationship with Jesus is the most pure and beautiful relationship that you'll ever be a part of. Where I promise you, you will not experience any relational hurt, but just love, acceptance, forgiveness. It's such a beautiful thing. And that relationship is right there for the taking. Again, not because of you, but because what God did for us in sending his son Jesus to die and raise again so that we could be made whole, so that we could be forgiven. He did that for you. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. So this morning, if you're ready to step over that line of faith and enter into that beautiful relationship with him, just from your seat, you can just call out to him. Just have a conversation with God. Tell him that you need him, that you want to be in relationship with him, that you believe that he is who he said he is, that he died and rose again for you, to forgive the sin that you know you have, your flaws and your failures. Seek him to make you whole again. If that's you this morning, like I said, you can do that right there from your seat. Or if you want to talk to me afterwards, I'd be more than happy to sit down with you and work through that a little more. Or if you have questions about that, you're not ready, but you have some questions, that's cool too. We'll have a conversation and then just keep coming back to LifePoint. You're loved and welcomed here. But maybe for you, you are a Christ follower. But you've kind of lost sight of everything because of relational hurt. You've been so broken because of the hurt that you've experienced that it's kind of put everything on pause. It's put everything off to the side because you are just stuck in this broken relationship. If that's you today, you can begin to thrive. You can begin to move through that in such a beautiful and successful way. But first, you have to get things right with God again. You have to acknowledge where you're at and take it to him. And And if you feel distant and you feel like he's not going to receive you, push that to the side and go to him. I promise you, he's going to be there with open arms ready to welcome and love you. Begin that process of healing with you. So as Jared and the team play, I want you just to spend some time with God. Search your heart. Listen to what he has to say. Maybe it has nothing to do with relationships, anything that I've said. And if so, that's fantastic. You just listen to what God has to share with you, and then you do business with him as he leads. Through our tithes and our offerings, the team will come forward. Here at LifePoint Church, there's a few different ways that you can give. You can give here as the baskets pass, or you can go online.